Hi, Larry Kreider here. This is a really special day. This is the day that we're releasing episode number 100. And we're so thankful for people from 163 different nations who are listening. We're so grateful for all of those who are willing to be interviewed from around the world, giving leadership insights that are helping so many people. And so thankful, Melina Miller, as our producer, for making this all happen. So God bless you. We look forward to the next 100. Now, let's get back to the episode.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here. And with me in the studio today is my long-term friend, even distant relative,
yes,
Benita Keener. Welcome.
Thank you, Larry. It's so great to be here.
I'm really excited about this today because obviously you have been the director of Gateway House of Prayer here locally, yes, 24/7 prayer, yes, since 2017.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And of course, served there many years even before that. And I love to talk to women in leadership because I feel like women have a specific journey that often men maybe don't walk in and maybe haven't walked through.
Mm-hmm.
And so good to have you here. Thanks for joining me. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right,
so
here we go.
To be here.
Let's talk about when you were young. I mean,
okay,
way back in the day.
Okay.
You still obviously look very young, but I mean, way back. And how did you come to Christ? Do you have a Christian family, right?
Yes. Yeah, I grew up in a Christian home, so thankful. Mennonite family.
Wow.
And it's been such a journey from those younger years. I had a wonderful Mennonite church that I grew up in, and actually, surprisingly, did value women.
Oh, thank God.
Which is unusual.
Yeah, that's true.
So I felt a level of freedom there.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
And so it's been a good journey. My parents loved me. I came to Christ at camp, Camp Hebron, when I was in fifth grade.
Wow.
Loved Jesus from a young age. And yeah, really
a family and leadership.
Yeah, my parents, they were like deacons,
okay,
deacon and deaconess.
What about grandpa?
Oh, yeah. He was a pastor and a bishop.
So. Yeah.
Bishop in the Mennonite church,
yeah,
would have been in Strasburg, like the Willow Street district.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because I remember your grandparents with Laverne's, mm-hmm, parents.
Yes.
Obviously,
there's
a relationship they had.
That's right.
Many, many, many years ago.
Yeah, lots.
So when you were young, did you have any leadership positions when you were young in,
mm-hmm,
in the church or youth group or anything?
Yeah, I served in leadership with our youth group.
Okay.
We didn't have positions, just like a leadership team. And so at a young age, I was given a lot of opportunity. I would say I learned what it meant to serve on team.
Sure.
At a young age.
Sure.
And that was a great opportunity. I learned team playing sports at a young age. But in the church, yeah. And even probably at a young age, something that really sticks out is that I waitressed in my teenage years.
Interesting.
And some of the women that I worked with came to Christ, and we started a small group in my home.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was a really pivotal moment personally for me in actually leading instead of saying, hey, you can go to our pastor and learn all of these things. I was digging for truth in my teenage years, like, oh my word, I don't have answers to the questions they're asking me. And so it really caused me to dive deep into the word and what I believed,
sure,
rather than just what my parents believed.
Sure. So anyone who's young thinking about leadership now, you're saying, keep your eyes open. There may be something God will lead you into now where you can lead one or two or three people in a Bible study or a small group or whatever. I mean, we did the same. That's how we learned about leadership, obviously.
Yep.
I remember reading about D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, years ago, and he went to his pastor and said, could I teach a Sunday school class?
Yep.
And they said, well, we have teachers for that. He said, well, could I start one? So he went out in the streets and gave candy to kids.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Yeah, really.
That's it.
And he had the largest Sunday school class there.
That's beautiful. beautiful.
Beautiful.
I think God loves to do that.
Yes.
And I didn't know at the time what he was developing in me that mm-hmm. was so beautiful for years to come. Just gathering after work weekly for a couple years.
Right.
And women, it was women that never knew the Lord and also women that were far from the Lord.
Wow.
That had made a decision to follow Christ years ago. And we came alive in those years.
How old were you when you were?
I was 16.
Wow.
16, 17, yeah.
And I hope everyone's hearing this. If you're 15, 16, 17,
yes,
you're called to be a leader.
Exactly.
You can do that now.
Any age. Yep.
Exactly. So what are some things that you wish you would have known when you started?
You know, one thing that I didn't know about myself at a young age is my prophetic gift.
Okay.
And a prophetic person sees very black and
yes,
white.
Right.
And sometimes doesn't know timing really well. So I would say that I said a lot of things out of turn as a young leader.
Interesting. And I've never seen that side of you. That's very interesting.
You maybe knew me several years later.
Right.
But like in my teen years and
sure,
early 20s, I got passionate, full of zeal
sure,
about things. And I think that I spoke out of turn many times and didn't understand that maybe what I was seeing or hearing from the Lord was for a year from now rather than
sure,
right now.
Exactly. Let's talk more about the prophetic, because how mm-hmm. did you learn that you were prophetic? How did that door open for you?
Yeah.
Because many people prophetic today, they don't even know they're prophetic.
Sure.
There's no room in the theology even for that.
Sure. So coming out of high school, I went into youth evangelism service.
Yes. It'd be like a YWAM.
Sure.
Mennonite church.
Yep. Training in Philly, then to Honduras, to the nations. And it was during that time I really learned to hear God's voice.
Beautiful.
And then I had never heard that even in my younger years. Mm. Learned about the Holy Spirit, learned about the prophetic. And so it was during that time that I came alive to God's voice. And so then coming out of that season, I was very much activated to hear God and speak the things that he was saying. I tried not to judge and
sure,
be critical, but there was an edge to what I sure, was saying that I had to apologize pretty often.
How did you learn that? Did people corner you and say, look, you need to change how you're doing this? Or how did that all happen?
I did have a kind pastor
okay,
that would say things. And even I was leading, when I came back from Yes, I led a Sunday school class for our youth.
Okay.
And they were coming alive, but youth are also honest. So there were people that sharpened me in that season. I would say they were sandpaper and took off the edges that needed to happen.
We all need brother and sister sandpaper, don't
yes,
we? Yeah.
And then, just that whole journey. I would say I never really had someone that was walking in the prophetic that like mentored me when I was young.
Okay.
But I started, I would say a couple years after this, reading the Elijah List.
Sure.
Do you know what
sure,
I'm talking about?
Sure do.
National,
sure,
global words.
Sure.
And so I was amazed. I was discipled by that, actually.
Interesting.
I was amazed at the things that I was hearing and how they fit with what was being spoken at a national or global
okay,
level. And I would be like, wow, I'm actually hearing God. These things are important. These are needed. And so I would learn just by reading those words and then actually trying to activate myself. Every day I would say, God, could you give me a word that I would have for somebody else? I did this in my 20s. And so what could have been a word of encouragement often ended up being a prophetic word for somebody.
Sure.
And so God trained me in timing and all of that
mm-hmm,
in a season with him, actually, personally.
Mm.
Later on, probably a decade later, I got around a lot of prophetic
sure,
people that sharpened
sure,
that gift. But in the early days, it was just me and God trying this out.
Wow.
And reading Elijah List and saying, God, help me. I don't know what I'm doing.
So
he was so gracious.
You were kind of mentored by the Elijah List then.
Yeah.
That's yes. amazing. Yeah. And of course, I've been mentored by leaders who've gone on before me. I read their
yes.
books, you
yes.
know, so
same.
We, all, yeah,
same.
We obviously all did. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your family, your husband, your children.
Oh, yes. I'm married to Brent. We were junior high school sweethearts the whole way through. Man, I can say so many great things about him. He's been such
guy.
An anchor for me all
sure.
these years and has released me
beautiful.
To be who I'm called to be.
That's
mean,
beautiful.
It's the greatest gift in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I have 4 children, 2 daughters, 2 sons, 3 of them married.
And you're a grandma, right?
I'm a grandma.
That's
amazing. I'm a nana. 4 grandchildren, 1 coming in 3 weeks.
Wow.
So, yeah, 5. So it's a beautiful season, a new season for us just in the last couple years.
Yeah.
And we love it.
Yep. We wanted to get into Gateway House of Prayer soon, but before mm-hmm. we do, you mentioned the term mentor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are there people who've mentored you? Have you had spiritual mm-hmm. moms, dads in your yeah. life that have
yeah.
helped you?
Yeah.
Talk about that, because that's so important,
mm-hmm.
I think, for
mm-hmm.
especially younger leaders
yes.
to realize mentors can make all the difference in the world. And as we both said, you mm-hmm. can be mentored through the Elijah list or through
yes.
something you read
yes.
Also.
Yes.
But
yeah.
it's good to have, you know, some mm-hmm. people with skin on sometimes
mm-hmm. yes.
to mentors also.
Oh, my goodness. I am so grateful. In my mid-20s, coming out of college, early days of marriage, I was crying out for a mentor.
Mm.
I felt desperate. God actually was leading me into prayer and even understanding spiritual warfare,
yeah.
the prophetic, some
yes.
of these things we're talking about. And I was like, God, I don't know what I'm doing. Send somebody. And I literally cried out for 3 years. And I would point out people at church and say, is she the one? Is she the one? And he'd be, nope. So it was a 3-year period where God personally trained me.
Wow.
And then Brent and I were at a Lighthouses of Prayer conference mm-hmm. with Ed Silvoso
sure.
for the state of Pennsylvania in 1999. And we walked into the hotel and there was a couple standing there and they said, you look familiar. And we said, we're from Lancaster. Oh, we're from Lancaster too. Anyway, just had a short conversation. I'm walking away and the Lord says, she's your mentor.
Wow.
After 3 years of crying out. And it was Ann Gibble.
Oh, she's amazing.
Who has been a mentor and a mother to me since 1999. We started meeting
That's
every other
beautiful.
Week. Lauren Charles joined us
sure.
in that season.
I
the
knew
three
Lauren.
Of us met every week for mm. years and years. And the beautiful thing about both of them as mothers and mentors is that I not only learned spiritual things, but like how to be a natural mom, like
beautiful.
To my own kids, to be, they were grandmas at the
sure.
time. They showed me what family looked like, how to weave it all together. So yeah, it's been, yeah, almost 25 years
that
I've
amazing.
Walked with Anne. We still meet. Not every other week like we did
sure.
at one time, but those were really significant, important years. They both had a heart for prayer, trained me in the ways of prayer, mostly out of listening and waiting.
Sure, sure.
So I learned to rely on the Lord, not mm-hmm. myself in my younger years, all that zeal I talked mm-hmm. about, pride, these things that sneak in, got shaved away in my life.
Beautiful,
so,
beautiful,
for that.
Beautiful. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. John, her husband, is my lawyer.
Yes!
He's my attorney. You know, so I know them for many, many. They're amazing, amazing, amazing
they are.
People.
They
great.
Are.
So, as you look back,
mm-hmm.
Did you make any mistakes?
A lot.
You mentioned a few things here. Is there anything else you want to highlight? Think,
yeah.
wish I wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
There's a better way to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything else you'd highlight?
I can remember. I'll just share a little story
yes.
because. It was something that I walked in and didn't even realize I was doing at a young age. So Ann and Lauren and I ended up leading a regional prayer group for 3 years. And I learned a lot during those years in leadership. But I remember it was actually a conference at Dove, and we were going to announce about this regional prayer group
mm-hmm.
that was happening. We were going church to church, gathering intercessors and people that love to pray. But we were going to announce what we're doing and invite more people to it. And so Lauren was to make these little flyers that we were going to pass out or have available at the conference. And somehow she didn't have the time to do it. And I remember going to Anne and saying, I can't believe this. This was like our moment, you know, like sure. to really get the word out.
Sure.
And Anne's like, oh, is Lauren okay? Like, she not once allowed me to walk in my immaturity and shifted the conversation to totally care for Lauren.
Wow.
And that was a real pivotal mm-hmm. point for me mm-hmm. in recognizing I was trying to kind of throw Lauren under the bus, per se.
Sure.
And she was a dear friend. And
right.
why would I do that? And so I love that that's what mothers and mentors
right.
do in teaching and training. She didn't call me out on
right.
it.
Right.
But she shifted the conversation in a way that I recognized my own depravity
yeah.
and soulish ways of relating. That,
that's amazing mentoring, amazing
yeah.
mothering. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is so, so, so good. So any other mentors in your life?
Yeah. Wow. I would say, just as a woman, I was paying attention mm-hmm. to people that were in leadership
right.
in our region.
Right.
Shirley Hampton,
yeah.
such an amazing intercessor over the
She's
years,
amazing.
Poured into me, opened the door for me to serve in many capacities that stretched me greatly.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa Hostler,
yes.
so amazing.
Yeah, I had her on my podcast
life.
Sometime.
Okay.
She's great, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, even somebody like Eileen Vincent, who
mm-hmm.
would come
sure.
into the area, she
sure.
taught on prayer. She was so fiery.
Yeah.
And I loved her fire. Like, there was something in me, like the lion inside of me coming alive. But then somebody like Lisa, so gracious and
right.
full of dignity.
Exactly.
There were just different kinds of women that I was watching. And I also loved men and women walking together.
Mm-hmm.
Brant and I did some teaching together. We served as elders together at New Life Fellowship. So like Mark and Abby King, I
sure.
I'd get their little cassette tapes and listen to them. And
you're giving away
how
your
they
age
flew.
Now.
Exactly. Exactly. I know. So yeah, I would listen to how they flowed together. Like, wow, Mark is honoring Abby, and mm-hmm. Abby is
good.
Honoring Mark's gift and calling out.
Sure.
Yeah, waiting on each other, listening. I just loved it. And so I would seek these things out.
Mm-hmm.
I would look for these people and go where they were.
Amazing. Amazing.
So.
And that's such an important key to leadership, especially when we're learning leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Find people
mm-hmm.
who are leading in a way we feel called to lead and learn
yes.
from them,
yes.
whether it's from afar or by mm-hmm. personal relationship or
mm-hmm.
whatever that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about 24/7 prayer. Gateway, how did you get involved
yeah.
in Gateway House of Prayer? And then
sure.
how did you end up being the director?
Yeah.
Let's talk.
Never saw it coming.
Really?
Never saw it. No. No, I did not. You know, I don't want to say you're blind, but it's like these things just evolve over time.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're paying attention to the gold strand in your story and what
mm-hmm.
God's been writing. So 1999 was when I met Ann and Lauren, and we started leading a regional prayer group, going church to church
mm-hmm.
all throughout the county, gathering intercessors. So it would have been, you know, like a little over 100 intercessors
wow.
for about 3 years. And then coming out of that season, the end of that 3 years, we felt like we had accomplished some things that we really wanted to see happen. We were praying for the apostolic to arise.
Right.
That was happening.
Mm-hmm.
The regional church
mm-hmm.
was coming alive. But then Gateway House of Prayer was starting on the heels of that. And we were making room for a new season
sure.
and what God wanted.
Sure.
So Kevin, Barry, these guys had known me a little bit through the regional prayer movement, and Kevin invited me into the board. So in 2005, Gateway started, and Kevin said, hey, would you be available to be on the board? So it was such an honor
sure.
to serve in that way. I was the only woman in a group of 10. So, yeah, 9 men and me. I really needed to break off intimidation, and I was young. They were mostly older men in the region that had been sewing for years. But it was an honor to be asked, and I learned a lot. I would be so nervous before those meetings. They don't know this, but I would be.
If they hear the podcast, they will know it now.
They'll know. They were early morning meetings. I had young children. It was like a big deal to get out the door and care for everybody. But I was trained during those years. I mean, I'd already been trained in some prayer leadership, but this was another level of like vision for the region.
Hi, Larry Kreider here. Before we continue with the episode, I want to announce my new segment, Ask Larry. It premieres in season 3 of the podcast. I want to hear from you. Starting next season, I'll be answering your leadership questions and covering the leadership topics that you want to hear about. To submit your questions, visit the show notes and click the link below. And as always, thank you for listening. Now, let's get back to the episode.
So I served for 10 years in that role, and in the 10th year, we did a fast as a board for Gateway, just some changes that were coming. And to my surprise, in that month-long fast, the Lord said, I want you to come on to the day-to-day that's happening. So Luke Weaver was newer. He had taken Jimmy yes. Nyman's role, and I was like, wow, I had never even considered that. I was loving the board by that point, loving the vision aspect, but the Lord was clear in saying, I want you to come next to Luke. So I just went to Luke and said, do you need help with anything? I would love to serve you with anything that's needed day to day. And so Kevin was the oversight, you know, the board. The board was still functioning for a couple years after that, but there were changes coming to Gateway. So I came on with Luke in 2015, and within 2 years, Luke was feeling a shift
right.
that I didn't see coming at all, and he felt called to YWAM Lancaster, which was right. so exciting. Mm-hmm. But he's like, I think you're the one to lead this, and I'm like, what? Like, I didn't think I was coming on for this. I was just happy to serve. But my children were at a different place. Sure. It made it easier to say yes at that point. And I had some intercessor friends at that time that didn't know that Luke had asked me that prophetically gave me words that moved
wow.
me. So in 2017, both of my daughters got married within a month.
Wow.
And at the same time, Luke was asking me to take this on. So it was a very intense season, a lot going on. And I thought, I can't do this. My family's really shifting and changing. It just felt like there were personal things. But these words came from intercessor friends. Mm. You've been made for this.
Beautiful.
Look at your storyline.
Beautiful.
You know, it was a lot of questions for the Lord, but he so graciously led me in, and Luke graciously was affirming, supporting,
beautiful.
And it's amazing. He's 2 miles down the road,
right.
and now we get to walk together in
beautiful.
Ministry.
Beautiful. Again, we have people from 160-plus nations who
yeah.
listen to this podcast, so mm-hmm. obviously we're here in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania,
yes.
and I just wanted to give clarity, 24/7 mm-hmm. prayer with Gateway mm-hmm. House of Prayers. And so in light of all that, people from many different churches are involved.
Yes.
Talk to us about what that looks like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is they take hour slots, 2 hour slots? What's mm-hmm. that look like?
Yeah. I love Gateway.
Yes.
And I love what God has done that's unique here in this region compared to any other houses of prayer
right.
that I know of, actually.
I agree.
That many churches, we have, I think it's 46 right
wow,
now,
that's awesome.
Different churches taking 2 hour blocks
two
of
hour
time
blocks. Okay.
around the clock, 24/7, through the night, worshiping and praying, mm. giving honor and exalting
beautiful,
Jesus.
Beautiful.
So we are so thankful. Started in 2005, 2008. 3 years later, went 24/7. So this year will be 15.
Wow. I remember when it started so well. That's going so fast. Yeah. You also shared something really key for anyone listening about leadership. And that was you offered yourself to serve with Luke. Said, look, I'm here to serve. You had no idea. Yeah. You didn't do it because you want to be the leader.
No.
You're simply saying, I'm willing to serve. And often that's what God uses in our lives to get us to the place He wants us to be in leadership. If we're willing to serve somebody else, serve somebody else's vision, walk with them, then God opens doors for us and others serve with us. Now, talk about teamwork, because you have to have lots of teams.
Yeah.
How do you build teams? What's that look like?
Yeah. Oh, I love team. And I do think it's something, as women, we're relational.
True.
You're a relational guy too, Larry. But sometimes I see that women see things that maybe men don't. This is why we need each other, you know?
True.
So I love our team at Gateway House of Prayer. And specifically, the way that I've built the team there is just been the nearness of God to highlight people.
Mm.
It's a different way of functioning rather than seeing we have this open role, who would like to fill it, this is our need. It's that God would highlight people. And I've learned this just after many years, many times getting a prophetic word for somebody or calling out a gifting in them, and then all of a sudden, it's like a couple days later, I'm realizing what God's up to. So every single person on our team came that way, that I saw them in the house of prayer, often saw their pure heart toward God, which is something that I learned over the year, that character trumps gifting.
Yes. Say that again.
Character trumps gifting.
Yes, that's so true.
And so those were mistakes I made in my younger years, that you recognize where somebody came from or the unique gift they have and you called them in. But now I've learned character. I'm looking for pure hearts, and God is too.
Right.
And that is how every single person came to our team. We have a young team, 20 to 24 years old, and there's 7 on our team, and I just love it. We have had mothers and fathers on the teams over the years, but right now it's all young. It's me and the youngins.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So you lead that team.
I lead that team.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and they're all so way mature beyond their years. I wish I would have been that mature.
Right. I know some of those leaders, and you're right. Yes. They're very, very mature. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to ask you yet about, this goes beyond Gateway House of Prayer, but your role as a woman leader.
Mm-hmm.
Was that hard at times? You felt intimidated. Well, welcome to the club. We all have. We get that.
Sure.
But talk about that a bit. Was anything you had to walk through being a woman in leadership? Because you're an amazing, woman of God, and what you've done is amazing. Talk to us about that.
I would say in my 20s, when I served as an elder, I remember Brent and I served together in that role, and then we reached this point in the church where they said, now are you each elders, or are you serving as a couple together?
Right.
And we really wrestled through that. And there were women on the team that said they actually felt a call to be an elder, and I was one of those. So that was a process for the church, for sure. So there were some people that were real, champions of that.
Right.
And then there were others that really didn't believe that was okay. So those were difficult years.
Yeah.
Things that were said, you had to really forgive and move on. I would say in those years, I really had to know the affirmation of Father God. And that's something that I needed to learn in my 20s, that His voice over me was stronger than any other voice. And even the voices that we're championing sometimes you can't even lean on that.
Right.
Like leaning into Father's voice. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of purging some of things in my own heart and learning to honor when people said difficult things, and Also, I do feel like it took many years, but I started to really have compassion on people that mm-hmm. men, even that grew up in a system where mm-hmm. they didn't value women. Right. And I think it was part of the prayer journey I was on too, mm-hmm. to cry out to God for a revelation of his heart, mm-hmm. to value everyone, no matter where you come from, mm-hmm. Male, female, you know, black, white, yeah. like every difference, yes. denominational right. differences. Right. And so it was a season, you know, I can remember something you said, Larry. Mm. You said, I think it was in an elder training meeting, take the 3% that mm-hmm. somebody says. Right. And there's probably some truth in that. So instead of disregarding that person or what mm-hmm. they had said, there was this level of honor of everybody. And you mm-hmm. you taught that and demonstrated mm-hmm. that so well, that even these people that were critical about who I was or being a woman at the time, I could take the 3% and good. Say, God, what are you saying about this? So forgiving quickly, letting go right. of comments right. that were made from the elder team at that time to Gateway when I started. Mm. I can remember, I think it was my first weeks as director at Gateway, there was a man that came bustling in and said, it's a shame that no man could step up and take this role really? And that you had to take it.
Oh, that's terrible.
And I was, I just was in disbelief. And I was so like, sorry. I'm so sorry you think that. You know, like I didn't even know how to respond. That's all I said. I'm so sorry you think that. Because I felt such a calm at that point. But forgiving, like right. there was a whole group of people around. They all heard that. And they were so compassionate, you know, mm. and said, we're behind you. Yeah. And I hardly knew those people in the foyer. I mean, this guy just came sure. bolting in.
Well, we need to thank you. Thank you for paving the way. Thank you for forgiving when you need to forgive. Thank you for being a model of mm. what a true woman in leadership is mm. and can be in the body of Christ. Mm. You know, you're opening doors for thousands of women in the future mm. because of it's your obedience desire. To God, and we're so grateful. Mm-hmm. If somebody wants to know more about Gateway House of Prayer, how do mm-hmm. they do that?
GatewayHouseOfPrayer.com.
That'll work. Okay. Mm-hmm. So everyone listening, check out the show notes. You can find out more about Benita, more about Gateway House of Prayer, more about some of the things we talked about here on this podcast. Yeah. Any last-minute words of wisdom you have or anything that you'd like to share yet about leadership before we close today, Benita? So good to have you here.
Oh, so good to be here. Probably honor. Mm. Honor is just, we can honor each other. And I just see that that's what's happening in our region right now. Just honor of yeah. the old, honor of the young, what right. God's doing. And yeah. that it's the advancement of the kingdom is coming because of great honor yeah. in our relationships.
Yeah,
it's amen. Been happening. You've been doing that for years and have been such a model. Thank well, you for
thank
being a
you.
Father.
You're very kind. Thank you. You're yeah. very, very kind. We're so grateful for the vision that Barry Whistler had, you know,
yes.
initially.
Oh
and,
my, yes.
of course, Kevin Eshelman
yes.
and so many others right now
oh,
to see
yes.
all this happen.
Absolutely.
Just these mm-hmm. guys and gals have been friends. You know, in this area, there's been this deep friendship
yes.
among so many
it's
leaders.
Beautiful.
It's been a great blessing mm-hmm. to, you know, to us, mm-hmm. and we believe for the next generation.
Amen.
Believe in God for a major move of God among a younger generation, but yes. not just younger, it's all the generations together.
Yes. Amen. That's it. I'm looking forward to it. The
Me
best
too.
Is yet to come.
You've got it. Thank you, Benita, so much for being on the Larry
Crider
Leadership Podcast.
Yes.
And again, check out the show notes. And we're here week after week mm-hmm. interviewing people from throughout the world, learning about leadership, what we've all learned about leadership.
So
and
great.
So we feel like if we can make these small adjustments in our lives, that it can make a major difference, not in our lives, but those we serve in the future.
Yes.
So
yes.
God bless you. Look forward to having you back here next week.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrider.com.